Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is our 16th study in the book of Matthew, and we are in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in Matthew 14:22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. As God, Jesus knew that the disciples would run into a storm out on the sea, but he still sent them out. And there's a lesson for us there. Not every troublesome situation is a result of sin, or of missing God's will, or of a lack of faith, as some people will say today. 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. It's not always good to have people around, or the TV on, or the radio playing. Sometimes we just need to be alone and quiet with God praying. I mean, if Jesus needed it, we sure do. Verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. The disciples are by themselves in a storm and probably thinking, where is Jesus in our time of need? 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Fourth watch of the night would be somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning. Jesus comes to the disciples walking on the water. Now I think the disciples may have lost all hope. After all, they're in the middle of the sea in big trouble without Jesus. But we'll see what's going to happen. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. They were terrified by the storm, and now they see somebody coming out to them walking on the water, and they're even more terrified. And that's because a common superstition among fishermen back in those days was that there were water phantoms that would appear during storms and destroy boats. And so maybe they thought that that's what this was coming their way. 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." They thought that that being was a phantom. They thought that it was their worst nightmare, but it turned out to be their best friend and the answer to their greatest need. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And that's Peter. If Jesus is doing it, I want to do it. If Jesus is over there, I want to be over there. Sometimes Peter took on more than what he could handle. And sometimes he got ahead of God. And so sometimes he hit a brick wall. But in his heart, Peter was ready and willing to follow Jesus. Verse 29. So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And Peter was doing great at first, as long as his focus was on Jesus. But the moment he focused on the water, then he started to sink. If he would have done what he needed to do, which was to just take the next step, while all the time thinking about Christ, he would have been okay. If we focus on our trouble, or we look at the big picture and think, "How will I ever do all this?" we're going to panic and sink too. The answer is to take the next step, do the next thing, and stay in touch with Christ. 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter had good intentions. He was, by faith, doing what Jesus told him to do. But then he started to worry. And then he started to sink. And then he worried more. And then he sunk more. Verse 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. The storm was over because God's purpose for allowing it was accomplished. God never allows storms in our life unless there's a purpose. And when the purpose has been fulfilled, the storm will end, one way or the other. Verse 33. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly you are the Son of God. And there you see the purpose for the storm. It was to showcase the power of Jesus. It was to raise the level of the apostles' trust in him and to increase their devotion and their faith. 34. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And this we know is the Lord's second visit, at least, to the land of Gennesaret. Verse 35. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. And there was no magic in Jesus' coat. It was their faith in him that he responded to. The touching of the coat was just an expression of their faith in his power and in his compassion. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus, saying. Now the scribes and the Pharisees, they came all the way from Jerusalem, probably 100 miles, to see Jesus and to criticize him, because he wasn't holding to their man-made religious rules. See, they're really worried because he's so popular. 2. They say, Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And believe me, they were not worried about the apostles' hygiene. The religious rulers were upset because Jesus and his men didn't go through a ritual washing before they ate. Verse 3. He answered and said to them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? You know, they came to Jesus feeling so superior and demanding to know why he and his men didn't keep the man-made religious rules. Jesus answered by saying, Why don't you keep the commandments of God? 4. For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandments, or the commandment of God, of no effect by your tradition. God commands, honor your father and your mother. Jesus reminds them of that commandment. And according to 1 Timothy 5:4, one way we can do that is by caring for them when they are old. Jesus points that out to these religionists because they had a man-made rule, and it went like this. You've got poor parents who can't pay their rent. You also got some money, and you put it on your table and you speak these words. It is an offering. And with those magic words, you now have a right to ignore the needs of your parents and spend the money on yourself. So they were superseding the word of God with their own foolish man-made rules. Verse 7. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Hypocrites, like these rulers, talk about God, and they talk about obeying God, and they tell people that God is holy, and they should be holy as well. Meanwhile, they don't care about God themselves. They don't love God, and they don't live for God. Verse 9, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men, the rules and regulations and traditions of the scribes and Pharisees were denounced by Jesus Christ. He rejected them because they contradicted His holy word, the scriptures." And Jesus would say the same thing today about the things that have replaced the Bible in some churches. Verse 10, "When He had called the multitude to Himself, He said to them, Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." In other words, we're not sinners because of what we eat. We sin because of what we are. We're sinners because of our sin nature. 12. "Then His disciples came and said to Him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" The disciples were probably shocked at the boldness of Jesus. At last, someone put the Pharisees in their place. Jesus blasted them for their false doctrines, and for being hypocrites, and for being ungodly. And He did it to their face, and He did it for the crowd to hear. 13. "But He answered and said, Every plant which My heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." Jesus has just condemned the religion of the Pharisees because it had degenerated into a bunch of man-made rules. The religion they promoted was man-made. In other words, it wasn't planted by God. And since it wasn't planted by God, Jesus says it's going to be uprooted and thrown out. 14. "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." If someone comes to you with a teaching or a so-called word from the Lord, ask them where it's written in the Bible. Where is it taught? Where is it commanded? Where is it illustrated? Or where is the principle found? If they can't show you, walk away from them. Leave them alone, like Jesus said. They're just blind guides, trying to lead you into all sorts of trouble. 15. "Then Peter answered and said to Him, Explain this parable to us." Everything about diet and ritual washings that the disciples grew up believing has just been reversed by Jesus. And so they're confused and probably a little shaken. And they ask Jesus to explain. Verse 16. "So Jesus said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated?" I guess it's time for their biology class. Food enters your mouth. Then it goes down into your stomach. And then the stomach is digested. The stomach converts your food into a form that can be absorbed, the good stuff that your body can use is absorbed by your body, and your body eliminates all the waste. That's very simple. Verse 18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." So it's not what goes into your mouth that's the problem. It's what comes out of your mouth that's the problem. And so, the sin nature that we inherit from Adam, that has corrupted our souls. Out of our souls come impure thoughts, bad words, evil actions. It's not what we eat, it's what we are. That's the problem. 19. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Pharisees taught, eat the right food and go through the right rituals and you're okay with God. That's like towing your broken down pickup that won't start to the car wash, thinking that if you wash and wax it, it's going to be okay. The problem with unsaved folks isn't that they commit some sin. And the answer isn't to simply quit doing that one particular sin. The problem with the lost is their sin nature. That makes their soul filthy. And then that leads to sinful behavior, see? What everyone needs to do is to ask Christ to be their Lord and Savior. He'll come in, clean up your soul, give you eternal life, and a cleaner life on the outside will be the result. That's the point that Jesus is trying to make. The Pharisees want everybody to wash up, go through a ritual, and eat the right foods, thinking everything's going to be fine. It won't be fine. Let's start from the inside out. And we're going to stop there. We'll pick up our study next time right here. Until then, so long everyone.